warm, precious prayer. It's good to see each one of you. I know we've got some, we got brothers and sisters in the parking lot with us this morning worshiping, and we always want them to feel welcome as they're not in the building with us, but they're here with us worshiping the Lord. If you're in the parking lot and are able to hear the radio broadcast, let us know you're out there by blowing your horn. God bless y'all. We trust that the Lord's mercy would be with you there and with us in here as we gather together to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible with you this morning, I trust that you do. I want to encourage the congregation to bring your Bible to the house of the Lord. Please turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 3. I'd like to begin this morning by just reading verse 20. Verse 20, as we consider the blessings of a godly mother, the rich blessings of a godly mother. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20, by inspiration of Spirit, it was Moses that penned these words. And it reads, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living." If we begin reading in Genesis chapter 1, we'll read about creation. And the Lord, how he took nothing and made something. And on the sixth day of creation, God took the dust of the earth and he formed and made man and breathed in him the breath of life. When God saw it wasn't good for man to be alone, he put Adam into a deep sleep and took a rib from his side, and he made woman and gave her to Adam to be his helpmeet. Genesis chapter 3 teaches us about sin that entered into the world, that sin entered into the world by man. The Apostle Paul taught us in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, that it was by one man that sin entered into the world. And after that, we read about Adam and Eve coming together as man and wife and having children. Here in this verse 20, we learn it was Adam that gave Eve her name. He called her Eve, and the reason he called her Eve is she is the mother of all living. You know, this morning, all of us that are here in this building, each one that lives in this world, we're all the descendants of Adam and Eve. Whether you would want to admit it in public or not, at some point you're going to find yourself related to me. We're all related in Adam and Eve. She is the mother of all living. Genesis chapter 4 teaches us when Adam knew his wife Eve, she conceived and bare a son. That son's name was Cain. At that time, Eve, she began to experience being a mother, the mother of all living. In verse 1 of Genesis chapter 4, she called his name Cain and said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." Verse 1 teaches us that Eve understood the blessing of being a mother. "I have gotten a man from the Lord." Do you remember in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15? When God told Eve and Adam there'd be the seed of the woman that would come forth and would bruise the head of Satan, which was a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. But with the knowledge that Eve had at that particular time, it seems like she thought that this first son of hers would be the one that would do the work. "I've gotten me a man from the Lord." She thought, I have a son now, and someone's come forth that would take care of this mess that Adam and I have made. We don't have to read far to understand it was not Cain that was found in that prophecy. You know, Cain was not an obedient son. He was a very mischievous man. He murdered his brother. But just when you consider Eve's spirit and her attitude, she displays the appreciation that she had to the Lord. And the thankfulness that she had, understanding it was a blessing to be a mother. You know, the world that we live in today is, there's so much false things that's pushed into the minds of people. So much ungodliness that goes through the airwaves of television, radio. There's many people in the world that think it's a curse, you know, to be a mother. It's a burden to be a mother. Eve, who was the mother of all living, didn't have that attitude. She understood it was a blessing to be a mother. The Bible teaches us in Psalms 127 and verse 3 that children are a heritage of the Lord and the fruit of the womb, His reward. The mothers that are here this morning that have children, it is a great blessing that God has given you to have those children. You may look at this portion of Scripture and say, well, Cain didn't turn out too well. See, Eve had no power to make Cain a child of God. None of us here have any power to make any of our children a child of God. That work is in the hands of a sovereign God that rules over the entire universe, who does as He pleases, when He pleases, to whom He pleases. But Eve understood her responsibility in raising her son in a godly manner. She understood it was a blessing. And could I say that she and Adam, they labored to raise their children in the right way. So not only are children a blessing to a godly mother, they are a precious godly responsibility to a godly mother. And whether they turn out right or not, that does not leave you any godly mother of the responsibility they have to raise their children right. I heard a story once about a mother that had several boys in South Georgia. And those boys were very mischievous. Those boys would get in trouble. And no, it's not Loudermilk's. Those boys were outside the house throwing rocks at one another. And Mom, she yelled out the window, said, boys, we're going to get y'all some help about throwing those rocks. One of those boys said, Mom, you couldn't help. You can't even hit the broadside of a barn with a rock. But that mom understood she had a responsibility to raise those boys and do what's right. A godly mother understands it's a blessing. A godly mother understands it's a precious responsibility. And a godly mother in the sight of God is a caring mother of her children. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 3. In 1 Kings chapter 3, we read about two mothers. And one mother has a child that's dead. Here in 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon, the son of David, is king over Israel. And God blessed Solomon with wisdom. God blessed Solomon with riches and honor. It's important for us to always remember, to whom much is given, much is required. If God has blessed us, and God's temporal grace is with us, there's something required of us. Soon after God blessed Solomon with this wisdom, soon after God blessed Solomon with these riches, there was a situation that came forth. It was two women. It was two mothers. There was one woman that overlaid her son, and he was killed. And during the night, she took the other woman's son and said, this is mine, and laid the dead son with the other woman. The contention was brought to Solomon. And here in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 19, we read, and this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, It was dead. And when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, no, but the dead son is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then the king, notice this, then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. The other saith, nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king, and the king said, divide the living child in two, give half to one and half to the other. Then spake the woman, whose the living child was, unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, oh, my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. And the king, he understood then who the real mother was. It was the one that cared for the son. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. See, a godly mother has care for her children. I think back in my life, the care that my mother, a godly mother, one that feared God of heaven and earth, had for me. And I thank God for that caring, godly mother. You know, a mother's job, a caring mother's job, it's never finished. They just start, but they're never done. I can think back many times in my life when I would get up, my mom had been up for hours. When I would go to bed, she was still up, and going through the task and what was needed for her children. I think about the sacrifice that a caring, godly mother would have to make. 2 Samuel chapter 21. 2 Samuel chapter 21, we read of a time when there was a famine in the land of Israel. And during that famine, it was revealed to David what took place. In Joshua chapter 9, there was a covenant that was made between Israel and the Gibeonites. Do you recall the Gibeonites didn't work wildly? They tricked them. But the children of Israel made a covenant with the Gibeonites that they would not destroy them. The God of heaven and earth will demand us to keep our word. God does not smile on covenant breakers. Our God is a covenant keeper in heaven. And he calls on us to be people that keep our word when we make a promise. During the reign of Saul of Kish, Saul went and did despiteful things to the Gibeonites. Slayed many of them, and it angered God that he did so. And there was a famine throughout the land, and it was revealed to David what the famine was about. And David went to the Gibeonites and asked what could be done. What could be done to make this right? And the Gibeonites mentioned to David what had happened. And they said, give us 7 sons of Saul that we may put them to death. That's what will make it right. And I'm sure it grieved David. But David gave them 7 sons of Saul. There was 5 sons of Michelle. And there was 2 sons of a concubine named Rizpah. Second Samuel chapter 3 and verse 8, we learn that she was a concubine of Saul. And she had 2 sons. One was named Mephibosheth, not Mephibosheth Jonathan's son, and another named Armoni. And those 2 sons were 2 of the sons that were put to death. And they left them hanging in the trees when they put them to death there in Gibeah. Notice with me in 2 Samuel 21 and verse 10. And I want you to see this display of love and care and sacrifice. The Bible said in Rizpah, the daughter of Ai took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock. From the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven. That's from about Nisan the 17th. Until the latter rains would come. So we're talking about a period from probably April to September, October. 4.5 to 5 months. And notice she suffered neither birds of the air to rest upon them by day, nor the beast of the field by night. And it was told David what Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, the concubine of Saul, had done. This mother loved her two boys. Those boys were put to death. And she spread her a place on a rock. And she would not suffer the birds of the air to touch their bodies. She would not suffer the beast of the field to touch those bodies. And even after their death, she loved those sons so much she made that sacrifice for 4.5 to 5 months just to honor the bodies of those two boys. You know, when I consider this lesson and what Rizpah done for those two sons that was dead, how much more should a godly mother make sacrifice and care for a living child that God has blessed her to have? Now, this event in Scripture is one that just cuts me to the heart to think about this mother and what she did and what she went through. It also exhorts me as a child of God to be a better disciple, to consider my children. And I hope you godly mothers are pricked in your heart to consider your godly children, that you would work to keep the fowls of the air that would come and steal the seeds of the word of God from the hearts of those precious children God has blessed you to have. And God would bless you to have courage to stand up against the beast of the world and the wild animals that with ravenous thoughts would come and destroy the lives of children, to keep them pushed away and to fulfill your responsibility in raising those living children that God has blessed you to have. So now we've understood a woman that understood it was a blessing to have children. We've looked at a caring mother. What about a trusting mother? A godly mother is also a trusting mother. A godly mother is one that understands it's a blessing to have children. A godly mother is one that cares for her children. A godly mother is one that trusts God in raising her children. You know, I go to Exodus chapter 2, I find a very trusting mother. It was a mother of one named Moses. And this woman that was a Levite, God blessed her to have a son. It was during a very dangerous time in Israel's history. The Pharaoh of Egypt had made a command because he was afraid of the numbers that grew in Israel, that all the male children should be put to death. And the Bible says that this man, this woman, had this child. Doesn't say what his name was, does it? The Bible didn't call him by name in the early chapters or early verses of Exodus chapter 2. It was Pharaoh's daughter that named him Moses. But they hid him 3 months and they saw he was a goodly child. I love that, don't you? Saw he was a goodly child. You know what that means? They saw good in the child. How did they see good in the child? They saw good in the child because God was in the child. How was God in that child? He's only 3 months old. By God's direct work of grace, that's how God was in that child. God was in that child the same way he's in you and I, by his power, by his direct work of grace. He was not in that child because of his mom and daddy. He was in that child because that child belonged to God. God loved him before the world began. Jesus would later die for him on the cross of Calvary, and it was the Holy Spirit that took his abode in that child's heart. The Bible said when she could hide him no longer, she took bulrush and slime and she made an ark. That's one of the three arks in the Bible. You got the Ark of Noah, you got the Ark of the Covenant, and you got this ark that Moses' mother made. She butted on the very waters with the child in it, the very waters that Pharaoh purposed to take his life in. When I see this ark, I see nothing else but the providential hands
of our precious Father in heaven as he would hold his child on those waters. She trusted God and put him on those waters. And it was just so that it was Pharaoh's daughter that came down and was there at the waters and saw the child. I don't want to tell you, brothers and sisters, I got a sister. I got one sister. One sister. I got two brothers. I got one sister. And I want to tell you, when my daddy made a command in the house, there was really only one person in that house that's going to get away with breaking that commandment. You know what it was? It was my sister. There's something about a man and his little girl. She saw that child, and the Bible says the child wept just at the right time. The child wept. Man, her heart went toward the child. Boy, she wanted to keep the child. I can just hear her now talking to Pharaoh. Daddy, I know you made this commandment, but he's such a pretty baby, and I love him. Now, you know, darling, I made this commandment. I can't break this word, but Daddy, look, he's such a pretty child. I love him, and I'm sure Pharaoh finally said, all right, then, you can keep him. You know what ended up happening because that woman trusted God, Moses' mother? Moses' sister, Miriam, that stood close by, she came. Shall I go get a nurse? Yeah, go get a nurse, and I'll pay her wages. It ended up Moses' mother, in trusting God, ended up being paid to raise her own child. How about that? Can you outgive God? Can't outgive God. The Bible teaches us trusting the Lord. There's safety in trusting the Lord. There's peace in trusting the Lord. There in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, thou will keep him in perfect peace, his mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. There's fatness in trusting God. There's not any want. There's a shield in trusting God. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5. And this woman understood the great blessings in trusting God. And godly mothers are those that trust God in the raising of their children. Not only does a godly mother have to be one that considers it a blessing to have a child, would have great care for the child, they'll be a trusting mother, trusting God in raising the child, you're also going to have to be one of character and courage. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman for a price as far above rubies? What does this word virtuous mean? It's one of high character. It's one that's got courage and boldness to do what's right. You've read later in that chapter, her children shall rise up and call her blessed. Blessed. Why? Because she's one of character and one of courage and doing what's right even when the world has gone wrong. See, a godly mother labors to do what's right even when the world has gone wrong. And I want to tell you, this world has been wrong for a long time. You know when the world went wrong? When Adam disobeyed God in the garden. That's when it went wrong. You know, God made things in order. And man brought chaos, and all we're seeing now is just that chaos multiplied. That's all we're seeing. And it's not going to get better. But a godly mother is one that stands up for what's right. And even when people at school, out in the world, in government, wherever it would be, would tell wrong, that mother would stand up for what's right and teach the children what's right. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, when you got a mother that would stand up for what's right, an ounce of a godly mother is worth a pound of preaching on Sunday morning. Amen to that. An ounce of a godly mother is worth a pound of preaching on Sunday morning. If you get a godly mother that loves God, that loves God's word, that loves what's right, that loves the gospel and loves the truth, and she spends time with her children at home, I promise you, you will see that in those children's lives. Mothers do this, follow the will of God and his commandments and his word. You see the effects of that in children's lives. Second Kings chapter 22. Second Kings chapter 22, we read about the last godly king of Israel. When I say the last godly king, I'm making reference to temporal kings. We know the Lord Jesus Christ is the true king of his people. And he's righteous and always has been and always will be. This man's name was Josiah. He was 8 years old when he began to reign.
You know, when Josiah died, Jeremiah wept. You know why Jeremiah wept? He knew there's not going to be another king like this. You know who Josiah's grandpa was? Manasseh. You know, Manasseh's probably the most ungodly king in Judah's history. You know, he slew the prophets of God, shed their blood in Jerusalem. It was 40 years in his 55-year reign. He shed the blood of the prophets. If you go there to 2 Kings chapter 24, you'll find that God said he would never forget that sin. Never forget it. God saw it, and God saw what was done. You can read here in 2 Kings chapter 21. Not only do you read about Manasseh, his grandpa, you read about his daddy in verse 19. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem in his mother's name, and it tells his mother's name. Notice verse 20, this is what we want. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. So not only did Josiah have an ungodly grandpa, he had an ungodly daddy too. 2 Kings 22 and verse 1, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And the Bible took up this much space to tell you, and his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Bosketh. Wow. That much space to tell you that that man had a mother. And that man turned out to be a godly king. Where did he learn that? Did he learn that from Manasseh? No, he didn't learn that from Manasseh. Did he learn it from his daddy? No, he didn't learn it from his daddy. Well, God's grace was in his heart, Brother Ronnie. Amen to that. I believe it. He was a good man because good was in him. But I'll tell you something else. God blessed him to have a godly mother. And that godly mother spent time with that boy. And that godly mother directed that young man. And that godly mother helped him, and he turned out to be a godly king in Israel. And I'll promise you, if you could stand today and talk to Josiah, he would tell you, my mama, Jedidiah, spent time with me and taught me the ways of God. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2, we read about a woman, her name was Hannah. Anybody remember Hannah? Hannah wanted to be a mother, but she couldn't have children. She's one of the seven barren women in Scripture. She prayed that God would bless her to have a child. When she would pray, her lips would move, but her voice was not heard. You know, that Scripture alone teaches us that we can pray without our voice being heard. God hears our hearts. God hears our hearts when we pray. She prayed, God blessed her to have a son, and she named him Samuel. You know what she did with Samuel? She took Samuel and made sure he spent time with godly men, like the priest of Israel, Eli. Made sure he spent time in the house of God. She would take him a coat every year as he grew, make sure he had good clothes to wear. And this woman named Hannah, she understood what a blessing it was, and she labored to raise her son right. You know what happened to Samuel? He ended up being one of the judges of Israel and a very godly man in Israel's history. And he was one of the men that did so much for Israel. He also anointed David to be king. Well, Brother Ronnie, he was a godly man because God was in him. Yes, I believe that. There's nobody good unless God's in him. But let's not discount the influence of a godly mother and her following the will of God to raise that child right. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 28. 2 Chronicles 28. We're going to read about a man that his son was a very godly king in Israel. Matter of fact, if you go to 2 Kings chapter 18, you'll find the Bible said there was none like him before him or after him, and his name was Hezekiah. Here in 2 Chronicles 28, we read about his daddy, Ahaz. This man named Ahaz, he didn't do what was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, he rejected the Lord's will. Notice verse 2, for he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made also molten images for Balaam. Not only did he reject the will of God and do evil in the sight of God, he was given to idolatry. You'll notice in verse 3, he burned his own children to those gods. He went to the valley of the son of Hinnom and offered his own children to those gods. Verse 4, he was a man that committed adultery against God. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places, on the hills and under every green tree. During that time, there was all types of ungodliness and adultery going on. So not only did he reject God, not only did he turn his face and heart toward idols, offer his children, but he was a man that was full of adulteries. Verse 5, he brought all kinds of shame on Israel. Wherefore the Lord his God delivered him under the hand of the king of Syria, and they smote him and carried away a great multitude of them captives and brought them to Damascus. And he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel. He smote him with a great slaughter. Verse 19 in this chapter, you'll read how he influenced Israel to sin. I mean, Ahaz not only was an ungodly man himself, but he also influenced Israel to sin, a great sin. For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel. For he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. Verse 24, he was a man that shut the house of God. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. Verse 27, he was such an ungodly man, he would not even be honored to be buried with the kings of Israel. Chapter 29, 2 Chronicles. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. Wow, and his mother's name was Abijah. Wow. The Bible took up space to tell us what his mama's name was. Hezekiah was a man that was a child of God, born again the same way you and I are. But he was a man that was blessed to have the influence of a godly mother named Abijah. I can just see her spending time with it, even though her husband was such an ungodly man that was given to such ungodliness in this world. Can't you just see this mother taking her son aside that God blessed her to have to spend time with him to teach him the ways of God? So, brothers and sisters, we consider this about a godly mother, one that follows the will of God. What should our heart be toward the Lord concerning a godly mother? Do you feel to be blessed this morning to have a godly mother? Did God bless you to have a mama that was a godly mama? What should our heart be? Our heart should be toward them in honor and respect, thanking God that God blessed us to have this mother that we have. The Bible teaches we should honor our father and mother. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he hung on the cross of Calvary, gave us a precious example of this fact. You know, when Jesus hung on the cross, giving his life for the sins of his people, suffering the wrath that you and I deserve, that we would have a home in heaven, nails through his hands and his feet, his back whipped to ribbons, a crown of thorns on his head, his visage marred so more than any man. While he hung on that cross, he looked and saw his mother Mary. Don't you know she wept as she looked up there on that cross? Yes, that was the Savior, the eternal Son of God, but it was also her little boy that she raised. And he looked down and he saw her, and he saw John, and Jesus, the eternal Son of God, said, "Woman, behold thy son, and son, behold thy mother." Jesus cared about Mary to the degree he wanted her taken care of, even after he'd go home to glory while she lived in this world. And don't you know that's a precious example, brothers and sisters, for us, that we should honor our fathers and our mothers. We should honor our mothers and show them respect and love. I have failed miserably to thank my mother for all she's done for me, but I thank God of heaven and earth that in my failures, God was merciful to me to give me Sister Faye Loudermilk as my mama. We should not only honor our mothers, but in our lives, we should work to save our mothers. Well, Brother Ronnie, I can't believe you said that. Save our mothers? Can we save our mothers? Not to heaven, we can't. I can no more save my mama than I could my children for heaven, my wife, or any of you. That's not my responsibility. That's in God's hands. Eternal salvation is by God's grace and his grace alone. But I can save my mama from a lot of grief. Have you ever noticed over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the last verse, notwithstanding she should be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and sobriety and charity and holiness. Saved. She shall be saved. How should she be saved? She'll be saved from grief, from sorrow, Do you remember there in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 25, a foolish son is grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. Do you realize a disobedient son can bring grief and bitterness to a mother's heart? But we as children and living godly and doing what's right, we can save our mothers from any grief in her heart, from feeling grief that she bore us and brought us into the world.